You're listening to episode 26 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. This podcast presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. This is a review of the film Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, and this film review was published on our website, equip.org, on June 5, 2024. You can read the full text of the article along with its documentation at equip.org. Web Movie Review, Furiosa, a Mad Max Saga, directed by George Miller, written by George Miller and Nico Lathouris, produced by Doug Mitchell and George Miller, starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, and Tom Burke. This film is rated R, Warner Brothers Pictures, 2024. Furiosa, Mad Max, and the Modern Apocalyptic Myth by Cole Burgett. Please note this review contains spoilers for Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. When I was a kid, my father had an old gun cabinet where he'd store rifles. When he upgraded to something more secure, the guns were emptied out and the cabinet moved upstairs to my bedroom, where it became a hub for all sorts of oddities. I have a distinct memory of an old VHS tape that I found in the bowels of the cabinet when I was probably 10 years old. The cover of the sleeve featured a picture of Mel Gibson in black leather holding a sawed-off shotgun, and above that picture in huge, bold letters, the film's title, Mad Max. Watching that movie was a bit like a fever dream set in one of those bizarre late 20th century apocalyptic features. It released in 1979. The film is about a world on the brink of collapse where law and order has disintegrated. Max Rockatansky, Mel Gibson, is one of the last honest police officers, a bastion of justice in chaos-addled Australia. And the whole thing plays like a weird psychedelic hallucination, composed of low-budget filmmaking, relentless action, and a protagonist who is more a silhouette of a concept than an actual person, as he becomes vengeance incarnate, the idea of retribution given perfect shape and form. More than anything, though, that original incarnation of Max is cool. And the scene where he drags himself to his feet despite a blown-off kneecap and a broken arm to stalk down that desolate stretch of highway after a stunned toe-cutter, Hugh Keyes Byrne, remains one of the most rousing sequences in any movie I've ever seen. Upon initial release, however, the film was met with divided critical opinion. Tom Buckley, writing for the New York Times, called the film, quote, ugly and incoherent, end quote, and suggested that its target audience was, quote, the most uncritical of moviegoers, end quote. Despite this, the film was a resounding success at the box office, grossing over $100 million against a production budget of less than $500,000, with some of the crew even paid in cans of beer, effectively making it one of the most profitable films ever when considering the box office to budget ratio. The film's success guaranteed a sequel, and Mad Max 2 released in 1981. It received the better title of The Road Warrior for its release in the United States, and this is arguably the film most responsible for codifying the series' familiar iconography. Desolate landscapes, memorable freakish characters, a narrator framing the story as something like an apocalyptic fairy tale, the crazy man with a good heart in black leather driving a souped-up muscle car. All of those ingredients, most of which were present in Mad Max just hamstring by a low budget, were solidified in the public conscience by The Road Warrior. The sequel has been consistently ranked among the greatest action films ever made, with legendary film critic Roger Ebert calling it, quote, one of the most relentlessly aggressive movies ever made, and a movie like no other, end quote. Vincent Canby reviewed the film for the New York Times and wrote that it is, quote, an extravagant film fantasy that looks like a sadomasochistic comic book come to life, end quote. As a cinematic work of pure imagination, the film is staggeringly original. And where George Lucas looked to myth and the past for inspiration when writing Star Wars, 1977, George Miller crafted a mythic vision of the future and asked, quote, what might happen if the world ended circa 1980, end quote, when creating The Road Warrior. A third film, and what would be the last in the series for 30 years, was released in 1985. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome is Mel Gibson's swan song as Max and pits him against Tina Turner as Auntie Entity, a villain as glitzy as she is ruthless, who is determined to rebuild society. The film, like its predecessors, was hailed for its unrivaled action sequences, with Ebert holding it to an even higher regard than The Road Warrior, calling the battle between Max and Master Blaster, Angelo Rosito and Paul Larson, one of the greatest creative action scenes in the movie. He concluded that Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, quote, is a movie that strains at the leash of the possible, a movie of great visionary wonders, end quote. A fourth film in the series was in development hell for nearly 30 years. At different points, Miller expanded his vision for what he wanted the film to be, which began with the idea of making a continuous chase. But years of planning, combined with Gibson's well-documented legal troubles and aging, led him to rethink casting decisions. In 2010, 2 years before appearing as Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, 2012, British actor Tom Hardy was announced to be taking over the role of Max. Hardy would join the production along with Charlize Theron, who was cast as a new character, Imperator Furiosa. The difficulties surrounding the eventual grueling 2012 shot were highly publicized, with much ink spilled over the on-set conflicts between Hardy and Theron. Despite production troubles, Mad Max Fury Road finally released in 2015 to critical rapture. A so-so box office return made back the film's budget, but probably ended up losing the production about $20 to $40 million when considering its marketing costs, awards campaign, and so forth. Nevertheless, the film won 6 Academy Awards and ended up on numerous critics' Best of the Year list, with Empire naming it the best film of the 21st century in 2020. Reviewing the film for that same publication upon release, Ian Nathan wrote, quote, Max's re-enfranchisement is a triumph of barking mad imagination, jaw-dropping action, crackpot humor, and acting in the face of a hurricane, end quote. A fairly high-profile lawsuit against Warner Brothers and a global pandemic delayed work on any follow-up feature, but in 2020, Miller quietly toiled away on his projects during the COVID-19 lockdown, casting Anya Taylor-Joy as a younger version of Furiosa. Filming commenced in 2022 on a prequel centered upon the character and Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, 2024, just released as the latest installment in this madcap series. The Darkest of Angels. The new film turns back the clock about 15 years or so before the events of Mad Max Fury Road. But any attempt to further slot these two most recent films into a neat continuity should be taken with a large grain of salt. The first three films work as a trilogy, but with the release of Mad Max Fury Road, the series essentially underwent a kind of soft reboot. For example, the film opens with Max along his iconic black-on-black interceptor, which had been destroyed in The Road Warrior and was absent from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, but was again destroyed in the 2015 movie. Miller himself has stated that the films were never conceived with chronology in mind and do not adhere to any kind of strict continuity. He has likened each film to fragmentary folkloric episodes that revolve around a central archetypal figure, quote, the wanderer in the wasteland, basically searching for meaning, end quote. That being said, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, takes the version of Max's world presented in Mad Max Fury Road and expands it. Characters like Immortan Joe, played here by Lockie Hume, and the People Eater, John Howard, return, while new ones such as the villainous Dementus, Chris Hemsworth, flesh out the politics of the wasteland. Max, Jacob Tomori, is only glimpsed in the film while Furiosa takes center stage, with the story fleshing out her background. Originally from the Green Place, one of the wasteland's last bastions of agriculture and fresh water, Furiosa is descended from the Vavolini, a matriarchal tribe of warrior-like survivors. Early in the film, she is captured by raiders from the biker horde who have stumbled upon the Green Place and taken their leader, a warlord come messiah figure named Dementis. The raiders are pursued by her mother, Mary Jabasa, Charlie Fraser, and killed. But a rescue attempt gone awry leads to Dementis forcing Furiosa to watch as he executes her mother before taking the girl as his personal captive. Furiosa refuses to take Dementis to the Green Place, and sometime later, the biker horde stumbles across the Citadel, a cluster of three rock towers situated above an aquifer of fresh water. Dementis attempts to lay claim to the Citadel, only to inadvertently start a war he cannot hope to win with the Citadel's despotic ruler, Immortan Joe, the ultimate villain of Mad Max Fury Road. After striking a deal with Joe in exchange for Furiosa, Dementis is granted authority over Gas Town, a nearby oil refinery crucial for the Citadel's operations. Thus begins the journey of Furiosa from child captive to exceptional mechanic among the ranks of Joe's war boys to unparalleled road warrior under the tutelage of Praetorian Jack, Tom Burke. Her eventual lover and the driver of Joe's war rig, the iconic truck that appeared in Mad Max Fury Road. Broadly speaking, themes of environmentalism have permeated the series since the beginning, and Mad Max Fury Road received no small amount of attention for its willingness to let well-defined female characters have their own agency in its many action scenes. Both of those elements return in Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. But this film is about more than either environmentalism or feminism. It is a thorough exploration of the loss of innocence and the banality of vengeance. Ever since the Road Warrior framed Max's story as something like a dark fairy tale, the stories in these films have played out more like folk tales told through an unhinged drug-induced stupor. That is to say, Miller paints them with threadbare plots and intentionally bizarre iconography to heighten the archetypal characteristics and themes at play in the narrative. By way of example, the latest film opens with Furiosa in a literal green place, reaching for a fruit that not so subtly channels the Eden account of Genesis 1 through 3. While this particular story is less interested in forbidden knowledge, it is very interested in what is lost when chaos enters in. Furiosa is dragged out of a kind of Eden and thrown into the wasteland, where she must learn to survive amidst the bids for power made by freakish deformed tyrants like Dementis and Immortan Joe. In more than a few ways, the perverse and sadomasochistic imagery the series is known for is indicative of a world gone mad, not the normative way things are supposed to be. It is Miller's vision of the monstrous that is meant to contrast with the simple, good things in life. To illustrate the point another way throughout the series, goodness is frequently shown to be uncomplicated and ordinary. The families that both Max and Furiosa had before the chaos of the world tore them away. The loss of childhood innocence is a central theme in Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, highlighting the irreversible changes that the characters endure in the brutal world of the wasteland. This theme is quite poignantly illustrated when Furiosa finally takes her revenge on Dementis after stalking him through the wasteland as, quote, the darkest of angels, end quote. She corners him and demands the return of her childhood, symbolizing a longing that is perhaps contained within every human being, or rather should be contained therein. For a past purity and simplicity that once lost can never be reclaimed. Furiosa realizes that no matter how many times she beats on Dementis, the punches do nothing to numb her pain, and that vengeance cannot actually put the broken pieces of her past back together. The tragedy of this realization reflects the broader existential despair that Miller seems fascinated by and with which he has tinged the film series since its inception. Time and again, the protagonists of these movies are confronted with the harsh reality that the world they once knew is gone, and the remnants of their former lives are but distant memories. However, this theme finds a genuinely powerful counterpoint in Mad Max Fury Road. In that film, when Furiosa finally returns to the green place of her childhood, she discovers it has been consumed by the desolation of the wasteland. Her realization that everything she has lived and hoped for is gone is a sequence shot beautifully by cinematographer John Seale and the film's emotional zenith. Yet it is in this moment of despair that Max offers a lifeline of hope by proposing that instead of running, they work together to retake the Citadel and, quote, come across some kind of redemption, end quote. It is an already powerful scene made more significant by the events of Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, underscoring that both of these films work best as two sides of the same coin. The modern apocalyptic myth. At its core, Miller's pentology of Mad Max films is the stuff of classic mythology. Each story reflects, as Miller himself notes, the very human struggle to find meaning, redemption, and the possibility of a better tomorrow amidst the chaos and destruction of a fallen world, making them a goldmine for the Christian cultural apologist. In mythic storytelling, archetypes are the foundational elements that carry across time and cultures. This is how the American Western and the Japanese Chanabara samurai film can be so similar despite their obvious differences. The Mad Max series is replete with such archetypes. The hero's journey for both Max and Furiosa, the wanderer, the tyrant, the quest for a lost paradise. Max, as both the hero and the wanderer, is a character in perpetual motion, driven by a haunted past and an uncertain future, in search of meaning and justice. Furiosa is her own kind of warrior woman archetype, a figure so frequently seen in myth as a symbol of resilience and transformation. Both are set against the wasteland, a barren and lawless expanse, a modern-day equivalent of the chaotic realms found in ancient myths, places where heroes are tested and the forces of good and evil clash. A similar concept is seen even in the narrative of Scripture, wherein the writers draw upon the ancient Near Eastern imagery of the desolate and waterless places as being the realms of demonic entities, an ancient Hebraism that Jesus himself seemingly alludes to in Matthew 12:43. Demonic encounters frequently occur in desolate regions in Scripture, Luke 8:29, 11:24-26. And of course, Jesus encounters Satan in the wilderness in Matthew 4:1-11. It is noteworthy, by the way, that Jesus rebuffs Satan in that passage using three citations from Deuteronomy, the second law given to Israel in their desert encampment on the outskirts of Canaan. The point is that the barren places are where the heroes are tested, where the forces of good and evil clash, and it is in such a setting that George Miller explores the fragility of civilization and the fundamental need for hope to carry one forward. And hope is yet another major theme introduced in the prequel that is paid off in Mad Max Fury Road. The structure of the Mad Max films also closely aligns with the redemptive historical arc of Scripture. The Bible charts the journey from Eden through the trials and tribulations of a fallen world to the hope of redemption and an ultimate restoration. Following a similar pattern, the Mad Max films portray a world where chaos enters in and disrupts the basic, fundamental, ordinary good. While most of the world is given to despair, there are a precious few to whom it is given to hope in something better. Perhaps the cultural apologist can find no better conversation starter to point one to Jesus than the riddle posed by the first history man at the conclusion of Mad Max Fury Road. Quote, "Where must we go, we who wander this wasteland in search of our better selves?" End quote. It is an important question, and the Bible has an answer. Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's EQUIP.org.